This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. The Full Frame Documentary Film Festival begins today in Durham. One of the films making its world premiere is The Supreme Price, which follows the return of Hafsat Abiola back to her home country of Nigeria. Hafsat Abiola is the daughter of the former president of Nigeria, MKO Abiola, and Kudarat Abiola, who spoke out boldly against political corruption in that country in the 1990s and ultimately lost her life because of it. Here is the opening scene from The Supreme Price.
In 1993, my father was elected president of Nigeria. He came with a platform that said, hope, farewell to poverty. My mother was the leader of the pro-democracy movement in Nigeria. Because of our efforts to protest the military's continued dictatorship, she was assassinated here in Lagos.
That is the voice of Hafsat Abiola, who is the main subject in the documentary The Supreme Price. The filmmaker, Joanna Lipper, joins me now. Thanks for being here.
I'm delighted to be here.
So that is the first clip from the film The Supreme Price. Who is Hafsat Abiola?
Yes, she comes from the equivalent of sort of a major political dynasty. Her father was elected president in 1993. His election was annulled. He became a political prisoner of conscience. So already as a young college student at Harvard, she began engaging in activism to raise awareness about the corrupt military dictatorship in Nigeria.
She, while she's working in the pro-democracy movement in Nigeria, one of the other issues that is really comes through in this film is the role of women in Nigeria and how that has shaped the political system, but also her own life. I wonder if you might talk a little bit about her father, MKO Abiola, who had there's numbers that say over 50 children. He had a number of wives. What was the role of women in the Abiola household?
Well, Hafsat grew up in a family compound. Her father had four wives living in the compound. Each of them lived in a separate wing of the house. Each of them had children. So that was, a traditional polygamous household, and that's where she was raised. They were a religious Muslim family. They had a mosque on the property that was very important to the family. So she was raised in that kind of environment as a young woman until she was about 14 or 15, and she then was sent to Phillips Academy in the United States and had her education here. And so that was the first time she had been in a very different kind of atmosphere terms of gender roles and how, women's roles were viewed.
And as we mentioned, her mother, Kudarat Abiola, who, after her husband was put into prison, really decides to take up the cause herself and start speaking out. What kind of a role model was Kudarat Abiola for her daughter, Hafsat?
When Hafsat was growing up, her mother was a housewife. She was the second wife of MKO Abiola. The first wife had more of the public role. But when the father ran for election, Kudarat Abiola became the first wife because the first wife had passed away. So on the campaign trail, Kudarat assumed a very public role and gave speeches and helped MKO Abiola win the North. So Hafsat from afar, at this point she was at Harvard University studying, but from afar she heard of her mother's efforts to help her father win the election. And so she was very proud of her mother and could, understand that her mother was now taking a much more public role that was very radical for women in Nigeria at that time. So Hafsat has been very inspired by her mother's courage, by her mother's dedication to the ideals of the pro-democracy movement, but also to women's empowerment. I think for Kudarat Abiola, those two movements went hand in hand. They were intertwined. They were one movement. And I don't think she believed you could have a real democracy without women's participation. And so Hafsat today, one of her main focuses is getting women to go out and vote and getting them educated about politics so that they can really participate and have a say in elections. Because in Nigeria, there's a history of voter intimidation. There's a history of election rigging. There's a history of, you know, people's votes being bought.
You mentioned intimidation at the polls, but also, you know, there's more serious things that have gone on in Nigeria. A number of political assassinations. And Hafsat was looking at her father, who had been thrown in prison, and her mother, who was now speaking out. I wonder how worried she was, even from afar at Harvard, about what her mother was doing.
I think both Hafsat and her siblings were extremely worried about Kudrat Abiola's activities. She led the biggest strike in Nigeria ever. She shut down oil production in Nigeria in the 90s in protest against the military dictatorship. And it was the longest strike in Nigeria's history. So she was really attacking the government at their core, which was their source of wealth, and getting them where they were the most vulnerable. So she really had the courage. But at that point, she was a real threat to them.
And what were the circumstances of Kudrat Abiola's assassination?
Kudrat Abiola was assassinated a few days before she was due to go to the United States to attend Hafsat Abiola's graduation from Harvard. She had a meeting, and she was in her white Mercedes. She was driving to this meeting, and her car was ambushed, and she was shot multiple times in the head and killed instantly. So it has turned out, you know, that over the years there's been a trial for her assassination. It was definitely a state-sponsored assassination. The assassins that came to kill her had been sent by the military dictatorship. They were agents of that military dictatorship. So it was a state-sponsored assassination.
And Hafsat doesn't, she's in the United States. She hears of her mother's death. She doesn't shy away now, saying, "They've got my father. Now they've killed my mother." She speaks out. I want to play a clip of Hafsat Abiola speaking out after her mother is assassinated.
Tell me what happened to your mother. Tell me the story about your mother.
When our car was attacked by six armed men, they riddled the car, which was a Mercedes-Benz 500, with bullets, using weapons only available to the Nigerian military. After that killing, General Abacha was on the news saying that my mother was killed by, he said, by thieves. If General Abacha is looking for my mother's killers, let him begin by looking in the mirror.
All the things you're saying and all the accusations that you're making against
right.
the Nigerian government, aren't you worried that they turn you into a target?
I do not think that silence is the best policy. Silence does not end the military dictatorship. I think I'm a target if I do not speak out.
And then she returns a few years later to Nigeria. I wonder, have you had a chance to speak with Hafsat about her own fear about what she's doing in the country now, or does she feel like things have changed enough where she can go about her work in a safe manner?
I think that, you know, politics in Nigeria is definitely not safe for anyone who's involved. I think there's always a risk, and I think Hafsat's willing to take that risk. So I think that if you want to have an influence and be involved in politics in Nigeria, you have to be willing to put your life on the line.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much for speaking about it. And there's a lot more in the film.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Joanna Lipper is the director of the documentary film The Supreme Price, which will have its world premiere at the Full Frame Documentary Festival this Friday. You can find out more information on our website, wunc.org. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.